find in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, Luke 8, 1 through 15. Let's hear God's word to us this afternoon. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. As far as the holy word of God. Dear congregation, last time we looked at the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and we saw the great contrast in their life, in their death, and in their eternal destiny. We saw that from Luke 16. We remember the solemn words which Abraham addressed to the rich man when he realized that he couldn't go and cross the gulf that was fixed between those that were in hell in agony as well as those that are in heaven in glory, but also not back to this world. They have Moses and the prophets, he said. In other words, that's enough. Law and gospel. If they won't hear that, nothing can be done for them. They will not hear, though one would arise from the dead. And we know that the Lord Jesus around that time also raised Lazarus from Bethany from the dead. And indeed, it proved to be true. They were not persuaded to believe, even when Lazarus returned from the dead. So the word of God is sufficient. We have the sufficiency of Scripture there set before us. And so it is still today. We have the perfect, we have the complete word of God, even more so than the people in Jesus' day, for they only had the Old Testament. And even though the Word of God is perfect and complete, we know that we need the Holy Spirit to make that Word applied in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to make us both willing and able to become hearers and doers of the Word. Willing in the day of His power. And that's not because the fault is with God or with His Word, but with us. The fault lies not with the seed, nor with the sower, though we might find fault with the sower, but the fault lies in the soil, as we hope to see this afternoon from this parable and from the Word of God from Luke 8, the part that we read, and particularly from the text 5a and 11 in context of the entire parable. We read just 5a and 11. A sower went out to sow his seed. And 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So we have before us the sower and his seed. We have three main points. First place, we will look at the sower. A second, the seed. And thirdly, the soil. The sower and his seed, the sower, the seed, the soil. We read in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. Who is this sower? Well, we know it's a parable, but whom does it represent? We could say in one way it's Jesus himself. Speaking about himself. As he went about through the villages and the cities as we read together. Verse 4, when much people were gathered together, would come to him out of every city, he spoke by parable. Verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Preaching and showing the glad tidings. Preaching the word by his mouth, showing it by his very deeds, by doing miracles, healing people, helping people in their needs. So as the sower, you could say, he was scattering abroad the good tidings of the kingdom of God, scattering the seed, bringing the word of God to the people by his words and by his actions. But bringing the word of God. So you could say in another sense that the sower is God himself. He speaks. When the word is opened, it's not man who speaks, but God himself. Then, as well as now, he really is the ultimate sower of the seed. He brings forth his works, his words. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, when the Lord sows that seed, speaks his word, he does not do that anymore directly from heaven, as he did with Mount Sinai, when the people trembled and they begged Moses if God would no longer speak like that. But through men, through human voice, and the Lord in his grace did that. And continues to do so, even today. So he speaks, but not directly, indirectly he does, through men. As his instruments, men would speak or write his words. Like a farmer is really but an instrument in God's hand also to produce crops. He does a lot of labor, but it's God who does it by him and through him. Paul, we remember in 1 Corinthians 3 not too long ago, we looked at that and he says, we're God's husbandry. We're God's farm. As it were, farmers working, like Paul said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So who's the sower? Jesus Christ himself, God himself. But really, every preacher, every Christian is a sower. We sow by what we say and by what we do. So we too scatter seed. As instruments in his hands. seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to imitate Him, speaking as He spoke, acting as He acted. That's what the desire was of the Apostle Paul, wasn't it? He wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That consumed his mind and his thought, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To follow Him. He says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, He says, "Be ye followers of Me, even as I am of Christ." So scattered the seed. Now that doesn't mean that every single person is called to preach. The word here is not the word that is used for preaching as ministers do, but the word is here, evangelize, to bring glad tidings. Preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. To bring the good news, the evangel, to those that live around us. Like persecuted Christians did already in Acts 8, verse 4, we read, and notice the language, "They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." The same word preaching there is evangelizing, bringing the good news to other sinners. Scattered abroad, as it were, scattered by God's hand to scatter His word even further, bringing it all together, that God and Christ and every believer and every preacher is, in a sense, a preacher, a scatterer of the good seed of God. My question is to you this afternoon, are you such a sower? Sowing precious seed, bringing the word of God and nothing but the word of God. You see, it's not about you and me. It's not about how fit or unfit, how suitable or unsuitable we are. It's about God Himself. It's about God at work. It's about God speaking. We're but instruments in His hand. Sometimes people find fault with the sower, with the preacher, with the evangelist, with Christians around them, and that is not very difficult. We don't have to live long together to find out there are many faults still with us. Sin still cleaves with us. We're not in a perfect world. We're not yet in heaven. We're still upon this earth. We still have hearts and minds and souls that sin. We can blame the sower easily because we're but sinful men. We're but sinful though we are Christians. We sin. We come short of the glory of God in many ways, but they are God's instruments. God speaks through us. It's about God's work. It's about God's word. And that brings us to our second point. For we're not only to look at the sower, but we are to look more yet at the seed. Sowers are but instruments. God uses them. He speaks through us. We're but poor and miserable, fallible sowers. But we know one thing. We've got the perfect seed. The perfect seed. The closer we stay to the word of God, the more indeed the Lord is glorified. He's honored. Sinners are brought to conversion and God's people are built up in faith. They grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the word of God as the perfect seed. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. It says in verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed." Now that did not mean that he would sow the seed that was his. He too had it as a gift. No matter how much a farmer may think it's his seed, he may have harvested it the previous season. But even that was a gift of God because it's fruit of previous seed. And it's always to be traced back to God. Nothing but God's word. Not our own words, not our own light, but the light of the world. John the Baptist said, "I did not come to bear witness of myself, but of the light of the world. So God speaks, not by human voice, but by human voice. So we must use it. We must handle it. We must read it. We must search it. We must speak it. We must hear it and do it. Not ought to. I should be searching the Word of God more. I should be speaking the Word of God more to others, but do it. Not to be called hearers, but doers of the Word. Now, does all that reading and searching and hearing and reading and preaching and searching save us? Does it save others? No. And yes. No, because it is not our deeds that do it. We can persuade, we can reason with people, we can preach to them, we can teach them, we can witness to them, but nothing that we do will do it ultimately. It is God who does it by means of us. So we can say yes, it does save us, and it does save others, but then realizing that it is God who does it through us. Because as I said, we're instruments. God speaks through human voice. God saves us. God saves sinners by the use of the means. His means they are. Our means they are at the same time. We must make use of them. The Apostle Peter writes something with regard to this, and that's very applicable and suitable here in 1 Peter 1, 23 and 24 and 25. When he says this, notice, when he speaks of being born again, not of corruptible seed, they have the word seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Born again by that seed that was scattered, that was preached. God quickens sinners. He makes them alive, because it says that seed is not corruptible. There's nothing that decays or that rots or that dies in it. It's perfect. It's always alive, he says. Born again by the word of God, as a seed that has fallen in soil and germinates and brings forth fruit, which liveth and abideth forever. It lives. It's the living word. And it abides forever. And then it's interesting how he goes on. 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. That's also worth noting. That speaks of the death of man. Man not only dying physically, but man by nature being dead spiritually. Sometimes people say, and they mean it well, but they said the Word of God became alive. Well, it's really the other way around. The Word of God is and was already alive. We became alive to it. You see, we, Paul says in another place in Ephesians, were dead in trespasses and sins. So we were made alive by the living word of God. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And the dead shall hear, not only then in the future, because Jesus says, and that time now is, when he was speaking. So it's the living word of God that comes to dead sinners, or deadly sinners, or to dying sinners. All flesh is as grass. Glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the glory of man is the flower falleth away. But then in verse 25, he gets back to the word of God. But, he says, the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. By the gospel. By the glad tidings. For that's what the word means. Good news. Preached to you. What a privilege that God speaks to us. The Word of God by the Gospel preached to you, each one of us, individually, as if he would be here just by ourselves, very personally speaking to us. So pastors preach, Christians evangelize, trusting that God is at work through them, that he is speaking and acting through them. Like Jesus. Oh, more and more like Jesus. Preaching and showing. Speaking and acting. Glad tidings. Evangelize. There is good news. There's our hope. Our hope doesn't lie in our eloquence, in our wit. Our hope lies in God. He is building his church. He's making it stronger. He extends it in number and in power across the globe. It's simply this: one sinner telling another there is forgiveness in Jesus. There's forgiveness of sins, even when you've fallen into it again and again, stumbled into it, entangled in it. As you heard this morning, there's cleansing in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. So hope. That's our encouragement to preach the gospel, to witness it to others. We may not see any fruit at that time. We don't know. We might be number 25 and maybe person number 33 finally breaks through. Totally out of our sight. So the message is simple. Go to Jesus. Look to Jesus. So the Word of God is clear. It's perfect. It's complete. It's infallible. We speak of the perspicuity of Scripture, transparent. If you don't get it, if you don't understand it, no fault of the Word. It's our darkness, our sin, our shortcomings. There's no fault, no blame with the Word of God. The Word of God is perfectly able to restore sinners to God. Nothing wrong with the seed. It's perfect seed. And yet, it doesn't always bear fruit. It was like, so in Jesus' day, perfect preacher. Many did not believe him. Many were following him at that time. The crowd was growing. We would have said, revival is on the way. We would be excited about it. Crowds are there around Jesus and following him. But the Lord Jesus knew better. Many followed him for the miracles, but didn't really care for what he had to say. Many followed, but did not really hear him or obey him. They did not really believe him. And that's why the Lord Jesus began to speak in parables. It's about that time. And that's an amazing thing, really, if you think of it. Because parables, you would think, oh, that is illustrating the truth, so everybody would get it better. And indeed, that's so intended. And yet we read that these parables not only illustrate, but he used them to obscure the truth as well. To hide it. Read with me 9 and 10. When the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? They were puzzled about it. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. To you, he says, it is given, but to others it's not given. For you, to you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And compare it with verse 1 again, what Jesus was doing, right? He was preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Preaching and showing them. You would think that people would know it, they would have seen it, they would have understood it, but it's obvious that many didn't. The mysteries of the kingdom of God, mysteries to the human mind, to the human intellect, to the philosophers of the day, to the self-righteous Pharisees of the day, to the whole who needed no physician. For them, it was a baffling display. It was a story. Somehow they felt it related to them quite often, but they couldn't yet lay their fingers on. So they were blind, even though they were seeing. They were deaf, even though they were hearing. Deaf and blind. And we read in verse 12, what even further baffling and complicating in the end of verse 12, lest they should believe and be saved. So somehow the Lord Jesus kept their eyes and their ears so that they wouldn't believe and be saved. So close the gospel is, so clear and so plain. You know that the Lord Jesus is quoting here Isaiah 6, where Isaiah was commissioned to preach the gospel to the people of Israel, and they were in a very bad state. And the Lord even told him ahead of time that the people wouldn't listen. He said the very same words, "I will send you forth, but they won't see, they won't hear, they won't obey." Same thing there we find, lest they be saved. Discouraging. Wouldn't that be? These brothers there studying for the ministry. Now to be commissioned. Go to a place and the Lord would make it plain to you. They will not listen. You will have no fruit on your labors. No wonder that Isaiah said, "Lord, how long?" And the Lord made it very plain. You can read it over. That he had to carry on. Even though there would come destruction, he had to carry on. But it was not all discouragement. First of all, he knew that it was God that sent him forth. And God would do with his word what was right. It would not return to him void. But he said too, in verse 13 of Isaiah 6, "Yet in it shall be a tenth." There will be a remnant. There will be some that will hear, that will repent, and will return. Though as a nation they were doomed to harden their hearts, indeed they refused to hear. So the Lord speaks. Are you belonging to those who hear? Who receive the word not only in an outward way, but in your heart? Is it bearing fruit in your life? And that will bring us to our last point, third point, on the soil. So we have the sower, we have the seed, then we have the soil. And the parable itself is plain enough, the story. A sower sows his seed. A farmer is scattering seed on his field. Plain enough. So it seems. Most of it is plain enough. But not everything. As it was with the other parables that we've looked at, there's more to it than meets the eye. There was more to the elder son than appeared to be. There was much more to Lazarus than appeared to be. So it's also with the field. One part can be easily seen if you would imagine yourself there in a situation like as it was in Israel, and a farm with a wayside and rocky areas. A lot of it could be seen at first glance. But maybe another part could not be so easily seen. It could look very promising at first glance. But how shall you recognize which is shallow soil and deep, good soil? at first glance. So many things could be seen easily, many things could not be so easily seen or foreseen, for we don't know what kind of weather we're going to get either. Lack of moisture. Thorns may be mixed in with it. Coming up later, it might look at the very time of seed time, look very nice. Clean, plowed field, seeds scattered in it. Much is hidden, at least for a time. And so it is when we look at a congregation, when we look at our friends and neighbors, families, churches. May look good, maybe at first. You know how the Apostle Paul started in Corinth? Very difficult, but there was much fruit. Jesus said to him, "Fear not, I have many people in this city." Paul was greatly encouraged, was there for a year and a half preaching. Oh, but then he went away, and we know we've been going through 1 Corinthians and we see one problem after another. Certainly he had not thought that it would go that way. Perhaps you have the same thing in your family or among your friends or your neighbors or your co-workers. Perhaps you were encouraged at one point in time that they were hearing the gospel and receiving it and living it, and perhaps disappointed now, discouraged. Well, this parable sets before us important lessons. If, for one thing, any positive response to the word of God be seen among us, it's not because there is one who has good soil by nature. For the Bible makes it very plain that there is none that doeth good. No, not one. And not talking just about the world. Talking about every single human being. Left to ourselves, you and I would not be able or willing to do good deeds. It is God who makes us willing and able in the day of His power, by His word and by His spirit, looking to Jesus, following the Lord Jesus. Here the parable falls short. You cannot apply that to every reality in our lives, because really all of us are bad soil by nature, left to ourselves. It's not so that we have 4 different kinds of soil in this world, and that hopefully that you were born as one having good soil in you, and that then you would receive the seed of the world, the word. All of us, bad soil. All of us wouldn't even get past the first one. Rocks. Rock hard. The seed would bounce right off from us. If God doesn't ply that soil, if He doesn't work that soil so that that soil would receive it. It's God who changes. It is God who prepares the soil to receive the seed. He is sovereign that He will do as He pleases with it. However, the point of the parable, again, is to direct us to our responsibility, the responsibility of man to receive the word of God and to do it. That's why these different soils are set before us. To receive the word of God humbly and be obedient, believe it and do it, or else face the wrath of God. In verses 5 and 12, we compare every time 2 verses, we find the wayside hearer. He heard the word, but we read that he trampled it underfoot. It says, the sower went forth, he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. Trampled underfoot. Do you realize that we're talking here about church people? Or maybe people that have heard the gospel once, perhaps Sunday school children, or people that maybe walk by a street evangelist, but they heard the word. But generally here it's about those that were of God's covenant people. Jesus was speaking to His own people. They heard the word, but they trampled it underfoot. They despised the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to his own, John says. His own received him not. Paul, in Hebrews 10:29, says this, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God. That's the picture. If you hear the word of God, the good seed, and you walk over it, and you do not believe it and do it, you're walking upon the Son of God. How much worse can you do and walk upon the Son of the living God? How much sorer punishment? Suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, was trodden under foot, the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, wherewith he was set apart, sanctified, signified and sealed with baptism, set apart from this world for a holy purpose, to live unto God, as Paul says also in 1 Corinthians, called to be saints. It's for those particularly. If they do not receive the word of God humbly and do it, that face this punishment. Counted the blood of the covenant, the blood of the Old Testament sprinkling, really focusing on the blood of Jesus, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Done despite means insulting, has insulted the Spirit as he spoke by means of the word of God, as he strives with your heart, and then not to do it, it's an insult to God, particularly to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, that means set apart, an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. That's one part of the wayside hearer, or not hearer, non-hearer. But it also speaks about birds. The fowls of the air devoured it. Birds packed it away. Now, that's not as bold, and it doesn't seem as bad, because it's not trampling it underfoot. It's not despising it in that way, but it's despising it another way, ignoring it. Like a child who ignores his father when he calls him, when he asks him to do something. Just doesn't do it. Maybe not a plain, bold disobedience, not going against his father as such, but no obedience either. Just let it pick away. Jesus says, it's the devil who takes it away, who takes the word out of their hearts. Notice that it's even entering into their hearts, and he gets it right from there. It's a little further than the wayside. At least it got in them. It got in their ears. It got in their personality, at least a ways. The devil takes it away indeed, but we allow it, if that is our picture. You see, to forget is not an excuse. To receive something, to be told something, and then to forget and not do it. Sometimes we use that as an excuse. Say, oh, I forgot all about it. And we think we're excused. We often hold that to be so, but really it's not. James in chapter 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's what we heard about this morning too, the law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice it doesn't say by his deed. He's blessed by God in his deed. So are we blessed when we witness and preach and testify to other people? In our deed, God using it. But not only looking, but continuing therein. In other words, not forgetting it. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of it. That man shall be blessed in his deed. Not those that have the wood picked away. That's the wayside hearer. Really, we give the devil room or space. And we called not to give him a place. Ephesians 4:27. But then you have also the rocky ground hearers, verses 6 and 13. They do respond. They not only receive the joy, and even with joy it says, spring up. The seed sprung up, verse 6. It was joy, but no moisture, it says. No root. Matthew and Mark will also relate this parable, speak also about not much soil or not much depth of soil. It was only a thin layer, so that didn't receive the seed and it immediately began to grow up because there was no room to go down. No space, no room to grow roots. Also no moisture. Evidently the dew and the water of the Holy Spirit was not with it. It had no root. There was outward manifestation, but not inward root, not inward, no inward life, no inward power. Really, it resembles those that go on in their own strength. They heard the word, they were persuaded by it, maybe emotionally or intellectually or whatever, and they got to work. Yes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a Christian. Relying on the works. Maybe not only those that haven't been new to the gospel, but those that perhaps have been born and raised in their own works, in their own strength. Not repentance of sin and faith in Christ. Not realizing that these works that we're called to do must flow from faith in Jesus. And be done by His power and His Holy Spirit. Because there it says that the temptation comes, the time of temptation. For a while they believe, but in time of temptation, trial, testing, they fall away. Storms of life come upon them, disappointments, discouragement, they get discouraged with God and His providence, and give up. Because they're not firmly rooted in Christ, they fall away. But then there is also the third group, the third pair of texts, verses 7 and 14. Also a good start. You read the same thing in a similar way. Some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it. So the seed there springs up too. But thorns with it. They have heard, they go forth, and they do it. Also for a while. There it's not so much the trials and the testing in the negative sense that hinder it, but here it is that which is perhaps even more subtle. The cares. The busyness of life. They're so busy. If there's anything we're afflicted with nowadays is with so busy. So many things to do as parents, as young people, as children. And the days fly by. And perhaps even very busy in the kingdom work. Busyness of life. Those are like the thorns and the weeds growing up with the good seed and choking it. No fruit. Because we have not made the word of God a priority. Come behind, played second fiddle. We allowed it to overgrow with other things. Too busy with all kinds of things, legal, illegal, whatever it may be, lawful or unlawful. Not doing what Jesus so plainly said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What we also heard this morning when we opened catechism class, King Solomon, when he sought wisdom. First, seek ye first. Doesn't mean first that and then the other thing, and then we're done with that first. The word first means foremost. It's an ongoing seeking first, every time and in everything, every day. First, the kingdom of God. First time with the Lord, in private, with His word, seeking Him face to face. confessing our sins, looking for strength, for wisdom, for guidance into the next day. It's not just a time in our life, it's an existence, a reality in our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we by nature, too often, even as believers, those that do believe, too often we get sidetracked. Don't know how successful you are in keeping your time of private devotions. But if you don't switch the phone off, it's going to ring and you're going to pick it up. And if your computer is on, you're going to check that email or think that do this little task or that little task. And it could be in the ministry. All kinds of good things. But let the time stand still and see the salvation of God. Then go forward. Seek ye first. That's what it is. Cares and business of life. We know we should read this, but I should get to reading the Bible more. I ought to. It's the downfall of many. The ought to doesn't get into I will and I'll do it. Good start. But the good seed, the good plans are choked up. And then there is fourthly, in verses 8 and 15, fruit bearing. Verse 8 it says, and the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Matthew, Mark also speak of 30, 60 and 100-fold. One seed reproduces 30, 60 or 100. One sinner witnesses to another sinner about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What would be said of your life at this time? If you had to appear before the Lord Jesus, what would it be? What would be the fruit if you would be able to see it upon your ministry to other people? 30, 60, 100-fold? How many people, by God's grace, will be in heaven because you spoke to them? Honestly. One sinner, I said, witnessing to another. One sinner to another. You can stand right beside them. You're not above them. You're sinners. And you can say, I'm a sinner too, but I can witness to you. I can tell you how your sins may be forgiven. Cleansed. The blood of Jesus. And you know what? God, it is God who works it. God is sovereign. He works all things, but according to His good pleasure. And His good pleasure includes the means. And the means is the preaching of the gospel. So that the dead even would hear the voice of the Son of God. Live. And tell others. So it goes to the corners of the earth. It's our encouragement. We are to be the sower. We are to be the hearer first. And then to be the sower. We know that in the Bible we read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But we also read in one text and in a few others, Exodus 8:15, is that he hardened his own heart. You see, here again the parable falls short because soil cannot do anything of itself. We are not just soil. We are not just stones and sand and kernels, grains of sand. We are not stocks and blocks. We are reasonable, rational creatures. We hear the word of God. We can take it to the Lord. We can take it on our knees. We can pray and we can read it and search it. And God says, I will bless it. Those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Even if you have to come the first time and again, if sin cries out in your face, there is forgiveness. What a blessing, 70 times 7. God prepares the soil. But we are the soil. Dead perhaps spiritually, but alive physically. Alive unto evil naturally if we would be left to ourselves. But He strives with His word and spirit with us. Have you received His word? Are you a hearer and a doer of the word? You realize that there's not just four soils. that again falls short. There's not four kinds of people. There's only two kinds of people. Those that have believed the word of God and those that have not. But we're not only called to hear it and do it, but we've got to keep it and to grow it, to multiply it with God's blessing. The Lord Jesus makes it very plain. He gives some statements in between. In verse 8 he already says, when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He knows it depends on that the ear is made hearing by the Holy Spirit, and yet he says, "Let him hear." He comes with his word. And again in verse 15, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That means endurance, even if you would not see fruit upon our labors. We might not see it, but others might. Apollos, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and the increase came later. Verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. So all the seeds scattered in your life, if it has not been received into your heart, and if it hasn't brought forth fruit, you'll have to surrender it all back unto him on the day of days. For that which was meant to be a blessing became a curse. It's a solemn word. And that it says, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Those that indeed bear fruit, maybe a few talents, maybe brought only a few people into the knowledge of the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. But him shall be given even more. This is the word of God. May it bless us, each one of us. Amen.